Aren't you glad that his eye is on the sparrow? I don't believe it's by accident that nuts get cracked the same way by different squirrels. No more than I think that it's crazy that different individuals of all races and creeds and colors get saved by the same Jesus. Amen. Get washed by the same blood. I'm thankful for him this morning, thankful for what he's done for us. I know that it's a little different setting this morning, being Sunday morning, and we come in here, and I don't know what your usual schedule is, if you usually have Sunday school, but let's just let the Lord touch us this morning. Just as special and different and unique as this setting is, let's let God do something unique and special in this place this morning. Amen. Help us as we sing.
Every bird's hungry, waiting for some dinner. Here comes Jesus, he can feed a plenty. He can make a light of a little. God makes a light of a little. No matter how little you're given, when God makes the measure, you're coming out better. God makes a light of a little. Five small stones, a little boy David. Everybody's running, just a little crazy. David threw the rock, Goliath dropped. God made a lot of a little. God makes a lot of a little. No matter how little you're given, when God makes the measure, you're coming out better. God makes a lot of a little. God makes a lot of a little.
Yes, amen.
No matter how little you're given, when God makes the measure, you're coming out better. God makes a lot of a little. God makes a lot of a little. No matter how little you're given, when God makes the measure, you're coming out better. God makes a lot of a little.
Who am I that you would reach out your hand? Who am I that you would give me strength to stand? A sinner such as me, so unworthy and unclean, I should have been the one they crucified. But at the cross, you laid down your life, so I could find mine. Oh, I've never known a love like this before, and you hung on a tree, and there you thought of me. And all I can say is, who am I? Who am I that you would look on me with love? Oh, my stains, they have been covered by your blood.
Yes,
and I'm saved by grace through faith. I know when you came, you made a way. That whosoever
will
may come and be free. Oh,
but at the cross, you laid down your life, so I could find mine.
Oh, no,
I've never known a love like this before.
And you hung on a tree,
and there you thought of me.
And all I can say is who am I?
Sing it again. Hallelujah.
Who could have the cross? You laid down your life so I could find mine. I've never known a love like this before. And you hung on a tree, and there you thought of me. And all I can say is who am I?
Who am I that think about it, church. You would look on me with love?
Sharing all your love.
All my stains, they have been covered by your blood.
Yes,
and I'm saved by grace through faith. And
when you came, you made a way
that whomsoever will
yes,
may come
God.
And be free.
Oh, at the cross, you laid down your life so I could find mine.
Oh, no, I've
never known a love like this before.
And you hung on a tree,
and there you thought of me. And all I can say is who am I?
Hallelujah. Can you raise your hands and just love him this morning? Thank God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm glad that he laid down his life so that I could have one. The life that he has given me this morning is more than just any average life that any sinner will ever know. But the life he's given me is life more abundantly. Amen. We sing about it. Sometimes we don't live it or act it out. It's a shame the world doesn't get to see us sometimes in our finest hour. Many times it's a sanctuary where the presence of God comes down, where we really turn loose and thank him. Get a vision of who he is. Get in his presence. And that revelation of who he is comes. Sometimes it's all by ourselves, as Sister Rose said, out underneath a tree somewhere with our shoes kicked off. Knowing that he sees us just as clear all the way through. Knowing that nothing's hid from him. He knows all about us. And we just get open and bare before him. Can I say it without it sounding crude or rude? But sometimes we just get naked and bare before God. And allow him to see all the way through us and let him know, God, I'm nothing. And I thank you for loving me in spite of myself. Amen. So thankful for the life that he's given. I want to say again, I know that for the most part, this is the church body. And this is the core group that helps put this together, make sure that things go. And we appreciate everybody that's got involved in the serving after church. And everybody that's made people welcome to feel like they could come in this barn and be a part. We welcome and thank you as a church body for all that you've done to make this possible. I just want to encourage you this morning, if I could, from John chapter 19. John chapter 19, also reading from chapter 20, just part of this morning. I understand that these services are special. They're unique. God's presence is here. I want God to have his way this morning. Amen. I don't think that you and all, I have a service that we can allow our flesh to dictate how we respond to God's presence. I know Sunday morning is naturally a service that we tend to be more sleepy. Seems like sometimes we come in and get a little more comfortable. It's a different setting, but God's presence is still the same. Amen. John chapter 19 this morning, verse 38 is where I want to begin reading. We're going to finish up reading in chapter 20. John chapter 19, verse 38, if you're there this morning, just say amen. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, but in about 100-pound weight. These two men are related in this sense, that up until his death, they have been secret followers. But all of a sudden, now that they see he has died, they come to this overwhelming realization that he's done this for them. I believe that they understood what he was doing. And in seeing this, they didn't want to relate openly with him while he lived, but they wanted to relate to him when he died. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm glad that though I may not have ever walked side by side, hand in hand with Christ, in the literal, I can say that I can relate with his death this morning. And because he died, I can live. Amen. Let's go on reading verse 40. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes. Now I want you to pay attention from here on out to how many times John mentions these grave clothes. This is John's recollection. This is John's writing. This is his best memory. This is what he has these last few days. And all of us understand that John was probably the most qualified of all the disciples because he followed the closest. He was there. He attended the ceremonies. He was watched as Jesus was beating. He was there at the foot of the cross when he died. It's documented. John's the only one we know of. So John would know it best. Verse 40. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in that garden, a new sepulcher. Now listen. Where was never man yet laid. You think that was coincidental also? That just close to a place that they're accustomed to crucifying people, there happens to be a garden. And in that garden, a tomb where, though many people had died on the hill, nobody had been carried and put in that grave. Where never a man was yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day. For the sepulcher was nigh at hand, within eyesight of that bloody cross. Was a dark, lonely tomb. This is John's memories. We read this and here's what we have to understand this morning. Is in reading this in John chapter 19. The Bible has said and Jesus has said that he would die. And just like Jonah in the belly of the whale, 3 days and three nights he would be in the ground. If that's the case and he rose on Sunday morning, then they must have put him in a grave sometime either late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning. Friday, they're busy. They're trying to get it done because Friday was when the Sabbath began. And they were doing their best to get it through so that they could partake in the Sabbath and what was going on. So what we find is that John 19, there's a separation. And then in John 20, it picks up. The Bible says this in John 20 and verse 1, the first day of the week. Now, there's been some time elapsed. How many understand that? It's been 3 days and three nights. And no documentation. We don't know what's going on. Nobody knows what's been happening. Not because nothing has happened. Not because life stopped. Not because the world stopped turning. Not because men stopped living. But there's no documentation. We don't know what's happened for the last 3 days. Nobody knows. But we know this. John 20 in verse 1. It's almost like he has a memory lapse. And he begins to write again. Verse 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, John, speaking and referencing himself, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. She's frantic. She's upset. She's worried. She's distraught. Like most women, probably, her emotions are now taking hold of her because fear has gripped her. Her voice is probably elevated. She may be shrieking. She doesn't know what's going on. Verse 3, Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together and that other disciple did outrun Peter. John, speaking for himself again, said that he was so excited he outran Peter. Came first to the sepulcher and stooping down, listen, and looking in, saw what? The linen clothes lying, yet went he not in.
Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple. John comes walking in, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. And he saw and believed. I want to preach from here just a little while this morning. Maybe a different setting this Sunday morning. I may take a little more time to try to slowly explain where I'm coming from. But I want you to look at this with me this morning, these two chapters. I'm not going to preach long. I understand it's going to get hot in a few minutes. I want us, before we leave here, to be able to gather up here and really feel like we can pray. But as I'm looking at this, here's what I want to tell you. Is in between these two chapters, John 19 and John 20. There's a lot of people that live in between this space. That spot that is uncertain, we know the past, but we don't have any idea about the future. I could have read on in verse 9, the Bible says, "For they as yet knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." The disciples went away to their own home. They had been told before Jesus had said to them that he was going to die, that he was going to be in the ground for 3 days. He was going to rise again. But just like many of us, we hear what we want to hear. We don't want to hear about our Savior dying. We don't want to hear about some tragedy that's going to take place. If I could just preach to you on this subject for a few moments, I believe that some of us may be right there this morning. If God would help me, I'd like to show you that there's a greater day ahead. If you can look at this spot, just if I could preach on this blank part in between those two chapters, I want to preach somewhere in between yesterday's tragedy and tomorrow's triumph. Somewhere in between yesterday's tragedy and tomorrow's triumph. If God would place His anointing on the reading and preaching of the Word, I'd like to declare to you that I believe that every individual in this room at some point deals with tragedy. I don't believe that anybody is excluded. I don't believe that because you get saved and God delivers you from a life of sin, does He exclude you from ever having to deal with things that are tragic? When I began to read this, it was all the more obvious to me how much John loved Jesus Christ. How much John was in love with the person of Jesus Christ. How much he wanted to be around Him and how hard this must have struck him and how painful it was to watch his friend, that individual that he loved so much, die in such a cruel and brutal way. But before I deal with John this morning, can I deal with me and you and just tell you that I believe that if you've not dealt with a tragedy already, that you will at some point in your life. Can I tell you that these tragedies are not forever, but the memories are. Can I say that again? Tragedies happen, Brother Dennis, and then the next thing we know, the tragedy's gone. It doesn't linger. It's not something that is reoccurring or perpetual or ongoing. But the memory is what captivates us, and many times it's the symbol of that tragedy that will take us back. It's not that we're in the tragedy again, but something, some symbol of what happened on that tragic day will all of a sudden captivate the thoughts of our mind and will take us back to that spot that was so horrible and make us relive those feelings. Anybody ever had a tragedy like that? Maybe the death of a loved one. Maybe the untimely death of a child. Maybe a divorce. Maybe a child that has left you and now doesn't communicate. Maybe a house that is burnt. Maybe a tragic accident where you lost a limb. Or everybody's got their own story. I could talk all morning, and no doubt they're endless, the tragedies that have taken place in people's life. But the fact is it comes and it goes. But then it's that memory every once in a while. It's just the sound of a siren that takes you back to that place and makes you relive that memory. Every once in a while it's a phone call and a familiar voice that all of a sudden takes you right back to 15, 20, maybe 20, 30 years ago, maybe just 10 or 15 minutes ago. But that memory hangs right real in your mind and it stays right there. It brings you back, captivates you, and makes you feel like you can't go on. Can I tell you, that's how John felt. John, his last memory, as we read this, it seems like for a while he's almost obsessed with these linen clothes. They had a special and peculiar meaning. You and I could study them this morning. What you'd find is the weight that was on those spices and the amount of money that was spent upon those grave clothes. It was something that was fit for a king. A king could have died with the amount of money that was spent. They were special. They were peculiar. It was something that was unique. But I've come to tell you, it wasn't the money that was spent that made John remember it. It wasn't the amount of money, nor was it just the beauty of how they wrapped him, nor was it just because it was something that was Jewish tradition. I don't believe it was those things that made that a permanent imprint in his mind, but I believe as he watched him wind, his friend, his Savior, his hope of the future, I believe John stood at the foot of the cross waiting for something to transpire, waiting for him to get up from the dead, knowing that he was a miracle worker. He didn't want to leave him in this way. He didn't want to believe that it was the end. I believe it captivated John the whole while as he watched him, as he heard from the words of the Savior come from the cross that told John, "Behold thy mother," speaking of Jesus' mother, "and mother, behold thy son." I believe that it held him. Tradition says that John took Mary, the mother of Jesus, home and took care of her until her death. Can I tell you all these memories? But the last thing he saw was these graves. Clothes. And it seems like when he writes these chapters, they're so vivid, they're so real, because they wind up his dream and they seal it behind a tomb and a grave. John's in a peculiar place. John's in a bad place. But as I read this to you, I can't help but think of another scripture in the Bible where there was someone, not necessarily maybe there, he could have been. We don't read much about this other apostle until after Jesus dies and that New Testament church arises in Acts. But we read from Paul. Paul could have been there. Paul was a part of the Sanhedrin. Paul could have sat there and been one of the very ones that tried to trip Jesus in his words. Never could do it. We don't know. But what we do know is this, is that later on Paul writes, even through his experience of being with these very same apostles. I read in Romans chapter 8, this is what he says in verse 28. You could quote it this morning. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." I just want to ask you this morning, all things? Really? Here's what I want to tell you this morning, is God works all things out, not just isolated incidents, for our good. Now, what you and I need to understand is this does not mean that all that happens to us is good. Evil is prevalent in the world that we live in. But I've come to give you some good news and let you know that God can take any situation and He can turn it around for your long-range good. Now, this only happens. Here's what I want to tell you. I know all the tragedies I've mentioned this morning. No doubt we could name them. We could talk about them. You mean death? You mean tumors? You mean failed tests? You mean divorce? All these things work out together for the good of them that love God. Here's the qualification. It's not just anybody, but it's those that love God. That's what the Bible says to them that love God. Anybody love God this morning? Is there anybody that's in love with Jesus Christ? Man, if I had voice this morning, I'd say, falling in love with Jesus. I'm falling in love with Jesus. I'm falling in love with Jesus because He's the best thing I've ever done. Hallelujah. That's the way I feel about Him this morning. I love Him because He first loved me. But I've come to tell you, because I love Him, because He is my guide, because I am living according to His purpose, He can take every tragedy, He can take every bad thought, He can take every sorry thing that happens to you in your life that is contrary and not conducive with righteous living, and God can turn it around. Man, I wish the Lord would help me this morning and make somebody understand God is able to work your situation out. He's able to take that is a tragedy and turn it into a triumph this morning. All things really, preacher. Here's what I want to tell you. I'm not dummying down any of this. Life comes at us fast and it hurts. I'm not trying to take your situations, make light of them this morning. I've come to tell you that if you're not careful, situations will break you. It hurts deep to the core. People you never thought would turn their back on you, turn their back on you. People you never thought would lie, will lie. But in spite of all that, can I tell you this morning that the very tragic things that are in our life, God's able to, right in the middle of your tragedy, give you a victory. Can I encourage somebody this morning, say, don't let the situation break you before you get a breakthrough. Because there's a breakthrough that's coming. I'm not going to preach long this morning, but let me explain what I'm saying to you today. I read this and what I find is John has had a terrible week. Here's how fast life has changed for him. Just 1 week ago, they come into town on the weekend and Passover is there and everybody is celebrating Jesus Christ, taking garments off and palm leaves and laying them in the way as he comes riding in on a donkey. Within 1 week, everything has changed and the celebrated figure is now crucified. In 1 week, Brother Dwayne, anybody understand how fickle popularity is? That's why I'm going to be honest. I'm not working to be anybody's favorite preacher here today, because just as quick as you can like me, that's how quick you can not like me. That's how quick things change. We're not working for one another's affection this morning. We're looking for the Lord to be pleased and say, well done. I want to get my WD diploma. That's all I'm looking for, is to be able to stand there and him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter thou into the presence of the Lord. I'm going to make you a ruler over many things. Here's what I've come to tell you this morning. In a week, John's world has been turned upside down. And as no doubt every apostle felt like, this is the time. Man, he's going to set up his kingdom. Everybody's going to know the truth. This awful rule of the Roman soldiers is going to be taken away from us. Peace is going to be established. But what we find is God's plan in 1 week is revealed to them and they didn't like it. They didn't approve of it. How could it be possible that the answer to man has to die? And we see that in 1 week, all of a sudden, as things change, John now goes from celebrating, from being in an upper room, from going to a garden in Gethsemane, to being woke up by Roman soldiers, and in a day, in 24 hours, he's looking at his Savior on a cross. It's 24 hours later, he's laid his head on his breast, had a dinner as God, the very Son of God, begins to impart wisdom unto them. And all of a sudden, things have changed, and all he can see now is a dying Savior wrapped in linen clothes. Can't believe that he's dead. It happens so fast. Like a car accident, bam, it hits and it's there. And it's tragic and it's over. The effects last, but the accident's gone. Well, we don't have any reading of, and I don't want to drag this out, but 3 days. 3 nights. And no apostle is inspired to write down what we did for those 3 days. Much like us, when we go through tragic times, it's almost like time stands still. And we wake up 3 or 4 days later, though we've been functioning. We've been eating, we've been sleeping, we've even spoken to people. But it's almost as if we just existed. We don't remember. 3 days passed, and what's going on? And all John can remember is linen clothes. Tragedy. That's all he can think about. I was there, I watched him. No doubt he probably drove the others crazy. Talking about that death and what I remember, though he was beaten and though he was scarred and marred, he was still beautiful to me as they wrapped him in those clothes, as they put him in that tomb. Has it been proper to go visit where he lay up until this point? But now early, 3 days later, Mary Magdalene can't help herself anymore. There's an expectation. There's still a love. There's still a desire. There's a want to. And though he's gone, there's still a debt that feels like they owe him. And she and others go running to that tomb early that morning. They don't wait till late in the day, but it's early. It's the first day of the week and they take off and they go running. And Mary gets there and the stone is rolled away. Hallelujah. Can I preach to you now this morning? As we look at this and we see that she's excited, but she's scared. And she runs back, and the first individual she runs into is big old burly chested Peter. And as she runs into him, she says, "We know not where the Lord has been taken. They have taken the body. The stone is gone. And we don't know where they've laid him." Now here's what you got to understand. Peter is in somewhat of a backslidden condition. He has ran out. He has repented. He has wept bitterly with tears, but he has not had confirmation from the Lord yet how much he is loved. And Peter is somebody that he was devoted, but yet many times ruled by his flesh, and he needed confirmation. But of all things, Peter was a hothead, and Peter probably thought he has been the only one that has kept me from validating things. He's been the only one that's kept my sword in the sheath, and if they've messed with his body since he's been dead, somebody's going to reckon with me. Somebody's going to pay for messing with him. And he takes off running, no doubt sword in hand. He's ready to set the record straight. But Peter wasn't the only one there to hear the news. Man, I feel the anointing here right now. There was somebody in a different condition. Somebody that had been faithful till the end. Somebody that just desired to be in his presence. John was there. Somebody that was very much in love with Jesus Christ. And as he stood there and heard the same news, something welled up in him. And though Peter took off first, John took off running. I don't believe it was just because John was faster. I don't believe it was just because he was lighter of foot. I believe that there was something in him that said, "I want to be in his presence." I don't know the outcome, but if there's just a slight chance that he might be alive, that he may have come back, I want to be where he is. Can I tell you, the Bible says John got there first. You know what that tells me? Many times we come and we get saved and we leave the altar bare. Leave that for a sinner. Let a sinner go. Can I tell you, that's not the right attitude. But you and I that's been saved, there ought to be something in us that just the very prospect of his presence ought to make us rush to that altar and be there first. I said we ought to be there first. Those of us that have a relationship with God, them sinners will find room for themselves. But God, help us to desire, to crave, and to long to be in his presence. Just the prospect of God being in this old barn ought to be something to excite you enough to make you want to put on your clothes on Sunday morning, go sit in a hot place, and feel after him, happily knowing he's not far from any one of us. Hallelujah. Here's the problem. John gets there first, and he should have been the first to go in. But John gets there, and as he stoops down, peering in, what's he catch a vision of? But those old linen grave clothes. Brother Mike, that memory still so fresh, just a couple days ago, stopped him dead in his tracks. And rather than going on in, it's almost as if he lost heart. Some of you, that's the way we come. We're so dependent. We're so ready to touch God. We get to God's house, and all it takes is some bad news on the way to church, and it pins us to our pew. Let me make it more relative. It's like those bales of hay just reach up around you and grab your lap and keep you from jumping up and running to an altar. It's not because God isn't good. It's because some memory has come back of a past tragedy and it's too hard. I can't bear the thoughts. I can't look at it again. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to bear the disappointment. I don't want to feel that same shame. Here's what I've come to tell you this morning is we don't know John had family he could have went back to. But when the news came, John was still there. Why? Wouldn't you think that with Jesus being crucified that weekend, no doubt Pilate and Herod and many others looking to now make a point, John would probably be next on the list, because John has been the most obvious follower. He's been close by. He's spoke to him while he was on the cross. But John didn't flee. Instead, John stayed close enough that when the good news came, he was close enough to hear it. Can I tell some of you this morning that though tragedy has taken place in your life, why I believe you're still here this morning, even showing up in a barn, because love ties your heart. Though you don't know the outcome, you don't know what's going to happen, something has grabbed your heart and you love him enough that you can't leave. Peter comes running, and Peter needs that confirmation. Peter doesn't care what he has to see. He comes and he gets past John, and he walks down into the tomb. He sees the grave close. And he sees them, but the Bible says he turns around and walks back out. We don't know what his decision is or what's going on in his mind. We know he's still needing to see Jesus. But John, all of a sudden, something wells up inside of him. And as he sees Peter brush past him and walk back out, he musters up the faith and he looks again. The Bible says, and he looked when he saw Brother Dennis, he believed. Here's what you got to understand. Is John didn't see anything he hadn't already seen. It wasn't grave clothes that made him now excited and made him want to believe, but it was the absence of Christ. Now, can I tell us something this morning? Sometimes you keep looking at things and they will depress you. But I've come to let you know that we as Christians, the Bible tells us, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Are you hearing me this morning? But that is not seen. I believe that that biblical principle was fulfilled in the very eyes of John as he knew that he did not see the Lord. But what he saw was those grave clothes. But those grave clothes represented a tragedy. But that tragedy was something that was seen. Therefore, it was just temporary. Man, I feel the anointing to tell somebody this morning, your tragedy is just temporary, but your triumph is eternal. That is not seen is worth looking again for. I've come to challenge somebody. You may feel oppressed. You may feel like your situation's too far gone. But look again. Look again. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can I tell you, you read on over into chapter 12, verse 1 says, wherefore seen, ye also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run this race with patience that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. One of these days you'll be able to look at that made you cry, and it will bring you joy. These grave clothes no longer made John doubt, they made him believe. God can take that's made you weep, put a smile on your face and give you consolation, make it the reason for your joy. God can do the impossible this morning as you stand with me all over this building. I don't know where you're at as an individual. I don't know everything about what's going on in you. But I've come to tell you, God can take the symbols of your tragedy and He can turn them around. The things that have made you weak, tired, fretful. He can turn them around and He can make it something that you raise your hands and give God glory for. For John, God took the very symbol of death, those grave clothes, and He made them a symbol of life. Can you picture that this morning? The very thing that made John cry and weep, that symbol of death, that thing that confirmed Jesus was dead and gone. All of a sudden now he looks, and those same clothes that were on that same person now give him hope and expectation for the future. It can happen this morning in your situation. Whatever you're going through, God can turn it around. Take your tragedy, make it triumph. His heads are bowed this morning, eyes are closed. And you're asking God, dealing with your own situations, your own realities of what you're going through, the things that have kept you up at night, the things that have made you weep, the things that had made you sorrowful. I've come to let you know this morning, let God take them. Let God take them. Let Him change them. Let Him make you new. Let Him transform you. Make a new creature out of you. Let Him take those things that make you cry. Let Him turn them around and make you rejoice and give Him glory. My wife's coming to the piano. I wanted you to just bow your head and close your eyes for a moment, because I want you to not be worried about anybody else, but just to identify where you're at. Sometimes we just got to take the time to bear one another's burdens. But I'm going to tell you something else. There ain't nothing wrong with coming into God's presence with an expectancy of Him meeting your need, touching your life, changing your circumstance, giving you hope, hope that makes not ashamed. I'm going to ask you this morning to bring those things, those symbols, those problems, those situations in your life. Why don't we begin to gather around this altar this morning before my wife ever begins to sing a melody. And I'm going to ask you to begin to lift up your voices. Would you do it this morning? Come on, let's come find us a place to pray. And let's begin to call on the name of God. Just thank Him for who He is, for what He's done, for what He's going to do. Come on, church, let's take a few moments just to give Him glory. Give Him a chance this morning to move in your situation. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
He's my comfort when no comfort can be found. He is my closest friend.
Oh,
when
yes.
I'm seeking higher ground, He's my refuge. When the storms of life are closing in on me, the shoulder I can always
yes.
lean upon.
He
is my closest friend. When it seems all friends are gone, when I don't know what's around the bend, I know I always can depend on Jesus. He's my comfort.
Hallelujah.
Oh, when no comfort can be found, He is my closest friend. When I'm seeking higher ground, He's my refuge. When the storms
yes,
of life are closing in on me,
shoulder
I can always lean upon. He is my closest
yes,
friend.
Hallelujah.
When it seems all friends are gone, when I don't
know what's
around
the bend,
I know I always can depend on Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You can get past your past. You can walk away from painful memories.
Past
your past.
You
don't have
to
feel alone. And if you'll stand upon the Word of God,
your
yesterdays
can
be gone.
Let Jesus bring you
past
your past.
And then you
can
go on. And you can get past your past. You can walk away from painful memories.
Past
your past. You don't have to feel
alone.
And if you'll stand upon the Word of God,
your
yesterdays
can
be gone. Let Jesus bring
you
past
your past.
And then
you
can go on. You can get past your past.
You can walk away from
painful
memories.
Past
your past.
You don't
have
to
feel
alone. And if you'll stand upon the Word of God,
your yesterdays
can
be
gone. Let Jesus
bring
you
past
your past. And then
you can
go on. Oh, you can get past your past.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You can walk away from
Come on,
painful
church, yes.
memories.
Let God
past
help you this morning.
Past. You don't have to feel alone. And if you'll stand upon the word of God, your yesterdays can be gone. Let Jesus bring you past your past, and then you can go on.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
He never gave up. He never gave up. Mercy reached down, and that was enough. If you could see where I was before, I'm sure you would agree that he never once ever gave up on me. Oh, he never gave up.
He never gave up.
He never gave up.
Thank God, thank God.
God's mercy reached down, and that was enough. If you could see where I was before, I'm sure you would agree that he never once ever gave up on me. Oh, he never gave up.
No,
he never gave up. Oh, God's mercy reached down, and that was enough. If you could see where I was before, I'm sure you would agree that he never once ever gave up on me. And if you could see where I was before, oh, I'm sure you would agree that he never once ever gave up on me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Don't you love the Lord this morning? Amen. He's so worthy. And I appreciate the Lord for His love, His mercy, His long-suffering. Amen. He's never given up on us. Amen. When we seemed hard-hearted, hard-headed, and so contrary. Yet the Lord's mercy was extended to us, and God's helped us. And I appreciate the word this morning, how that the Lord's encouraged us once again to press on. Amen. Hold on to that is established as true. The Almighty God in whom we serve, that firm foundation. Amen. And thank the Lord. We appreciate each one here this morning. It's hard to believe these nights of this week of barn meeting has so quickly passed. Here it is Sunday already. And this evening we'll gather back again. Brother Noah, we start at 6:30 on Sunday night. And praise the Lord. We're just trusting the Lord to meet us here again and just believe that those many that has been invited, the many that know of the services here, we always appreciate those that come from other churches and help out and fellowship. But we know on Sunday they're in their service and where they ought to be at their church. But, you know, there's so many. There's many that have heard that don't go anywhere to church, that's just been wondering about a lot of things, that have a lot of questions in their life. But the Lord is their answer. If they could only find Him in that happiness and peace that He can give to them, amen, they could rejoice together with us. So let's stand this morning as we look to Him. Let's give all the honor to the Lord. Let's praise Him from the depths of our heart and give Him that honor that He is worthy of. And mighty God, we thank You this morning.